top lessons you wished you didn't learn the hard way?
Opening a fabrication shop.
Okay, fair enough.
Guys, it's Liz here today with Joe. we rehearsed this very well.
We don't rehearse anything. We're shooting from the hip.
Every time. Fake it till you make it, right? Anyway, today we are talking with a great friend of ours, but also just a sign wizard. We're talking to our friend Mike Stevens. He owns, he's one of the owners of Vital Sign Texas, located here in Austin and surrounding areas. And he really takes a deep dive into what it looks like to take that leap to start your own business. So it's a great conversation.
Super I am really looking to forward it. To talking to Mike, A, because we've both known him for our entire sign career, but B, just an awesome guy. And this is an important topic because so many people want to start their own sign shop. So I think everyone's going to get a lot out of this conversation. So we're excited to be here with you today. Also want to take a minute to thank our sponsors at Inktavo. So if you want to learn about the Inktavo products, go to inktavo.com. Inktavo brings you Sign Tracker. So for project management, you have Sign Tracker and Printavo, depending on what side of the industry you're in, whether you're in garment promotional products or custom fabrication and signage. They also bring you Inksoft for online stores and Graphics Flow for managing your graphics. So they have all the products you need to run a successful sign and print shop. So go check them out on inktavo.com. And we're very appreciative of the support they give us here at Behind the Signs. Okay, Elizabeth, let's get rocking and rolling.
Mike. Without further ado.
Hey, everyone. This is Joe. Welcome to today's episode of Behind the Signs. I am here with my favorite co-host. Or I'm her co-host. We're co-hosts, I guess, together. That's co-host.
I think it's
That's
an equal. Means. Yeah.
That's equal. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not like my sidekick. It's not a Batman and Robin thing.
No. Mm-mm. Nope.
Co-host. It's like a Batgirl and Batgirl thing.
So anyway, I'm Liz. And today we're talking to one of my favorite sign guys.
Absolutely.
He's a rock star. This is Mike Stevens, one of the owners of Vital Signs here in Texas, Austin, Texas. I'll give it Austin. Leander, Austin.
Austin. We call it Austin.
Yeah. All right. So let's just kind of kick this off. Mike, I've known you my entire life, just about. I think I met you when I was 10 years old.
Probably so better part of 28 years, I think.
Yeah, that feels good. Anyway, so I've known you forever. My dad has known you forever, but the people watching do not know you. So kind of give us just like a brief synopsis. What, how, why, when did you join the sign industry?
Oh, Lord, that's a long story.
Before you say that long story, Mike, I just want you to know that I feel like I am part of your long story because I have known you since I stumbled into the sign industry 30 years ago at our favorite little sign shop here in Austin, Texas, which no longer exists, of course, Sign Builders of America, which, by the way, Elizabeth, we have this really cute picture of you wearing a Sign Builders of America t-shirt when you were all of like 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah, if I remember, I'll give it to Chris and he can put it up on the screen for a second.
Yeah, that'd be
a pretty good one.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'm standing outside of the sign builder's offices too, wearing it. Yeah.
Yeah. I unfortunately don't have one of those classic t-shirts. I do, however, have a few old SignTech International classic t-shirts I haven't got rid of, but I don't have any sign builder's shirts, unfortunately. But Mike and
I have many of them.
Yeah. We worked, I think I started in the sign industry when I was 33. So I don't know if I'm a little older or a little younger than you. I'm 61 now, Mike, but we do have similar white beards, so I don't know.
I know we're eventually going to actually
get to Mike's.
I'm looking
like Santa Claus these days.
We're going to eventually get to Mike's story, but I just want to ask, Dad, how does it feel knowing that you started in the sign industry? Like, I'm older than you were now. I am older than you were when you started in the sign industry now. Does that make sense?
Well,
it makes me feel
I thought. Yeah, no. I mean, I thought I was starting a really sexy career in advertising because the ad in the newspaper said, media sales. And I thought, oh, cool. And then I showed up and Mike, as you know, dumpy little metal building, you know, Dan, of course, Dan running the show back in the day, our favorite sign shop foreman, but then you were there. And I think were you, because you eventually, I think, moved into sales and you can tell us that, but you were, when you were at Sign Builders, you were doing fabricating or installing at first?
I started in 95. I started on the night shift. I just happened to walk in. I was putting in applications in the warehouses there because I didn't want to be a waiter in a country club anymore, which is what I was before I was in the sign business. And I walked into Sign Builders and Dan said, well, you can work Thursday and Friday. And I'll let you know Friday if you can come back Monday on the night shift sweeping floors.
That sounds like Dan.
So, that yeah. My journey started 30 years ago, sweeping floors, a little over 30, but sweeping floors on the night shift in the sign shop. I didn't know anything. A couple of years later, I think, or a year or so later, is when Joe came on board in sales. Robert was already there, Robert McDonald. And, you know, I guess the rest is history. You know, I might want to hear a little bit about that, but I don't know how far you want to go at this point.
What was your journey that solidified you in the industry? Like you started sweeping floors, but then kind of you can tell, you know, a little brief history of how you worked your way up.
Yeah, because I feel like Dan, our shop foreman at Sign Builders America, he started a lot of people sweeping floors and he recognized talent. So from sweeping floors to what did he have you do next? Like, how did you start? What did you start doing at first?
So what necessitated the move was lack of income when I moved here and money. I looked around the shop and I said, you know, who makes more money than I do? And it was the assembly guy. And I said, I'm taking his job. So I took his job. And then I looked around and said, okay, who makes more money than the assembly guy? And it was the cabinet fabricators. And I said, okay, I'm going to go fabricate cabinets. So it was all money motivated. And then from cabinets, it was, who makes more money than the cabinet fabricators? Well, the installers do. They work a lot more hours, all that. So install is where I really felt like I kind of hit my niche. It was really what I did best in the sign business at that time anyway. So I did installs for years and years on an old Wilkie ladder truck, you know, dangerous trucks those things were. But that's all we had, no air conditioning, no heat in the truck. And you know,
nice in Texas.
See, that several is, years.
That's a treat.
Yeah, in Central Texas. Yeah, and traffic. That's you know, you're hotter in the truck than you are out working in the sun. So, that was with Sharon Burns. I know you guys know Sharon. Still a good friend of mine. From install, something happened in the shop, and I needed to go back in and help do some stuff in fabrication. And while I was in there, I was like, you know what? I want to make the move to sales. And, you know, I was a long hair with beard and rough neck looking dude. And, on Friday, and I had talked to the GM and said, look, I want to go to sales. He said, okay, Monday. So I went and got a haircut and bought some new clothes on the weekend. And I walked in on Monday and, I got quite a lot of looks from my fellow shop guys, you know, going from a t-shirt, you know, fabricator to, you know, a button up with a tie and khakis type of deal, working for Bob Strobeck.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we always had to have the tie on working for Bob. That's for sure.
And you had to have a stack of paper. He loves paper.
I talk to Bob a couple times a year, actually. He's still out. Yeah. He's actually still selling sign, not full time anymore, but I think he's almost 80 now and he's still out.
Oh, is he that old?
I think so. I think he's in his wow. mid 70s.
Like, I cannot stress this enough. I would retire.
It probably keeps him young.
It probably does.
Maybe
he's passionate about the sign business, like you, Liz, and like you, Joe, and like myself. You know, I just happened to fall into a business that fit me, and I'm passionate about it. And being able to do different things every day, whether it's the same sign you're installing, it's a different wall, it's a different location. It's always different, and that just kind of fit my niche, as it were, as far as what I wanted to do. And I got kind of roped in and stuck and I was good at it. So, that was it. I figured out that, you know, I can do okay in the sign business if I put my head down and, you know, bust my ass and make it happen. So
how long did you last in sales?
In sales? 3 years. 3 years.
Wow.
Okay. And that was at a volatile time in the economy. and what the expectations were as far as how much you had to sell a month. And it got, there were a few things that I had issues with the company. They didn't want me to sell to certain clientele, which I felt like, you know, you have this expectation of me to go out and sell all this and you're handcuffing me and I can't sell to certain clientele that maybe your beliefs don't really align with that type of business. So I thought, you know what, this is probably not what I want to do if I'm going to be handcuffed and I can't just, you know, cut loose and sell to everybody. And, you know, I needed to make money. So I said, you know, I'm going to move back into the office and I want to learn project management. So I went into the office still at Sign Builders and went into project management and that type of deal. And, then Dan left Sign Builders.
And where did Dan go?
Sign Tech.
Yes, he did.
He went to go work for Joe and Robert at Sign Tech. And, you know, they said, well, you've been around long enough. You know the place, you know, better than everybody else. So I guess you don't know what you're doing, but we're going to make you the shop foreman. So, you know, started that move. And that was interesting. The company was already in serious decline at that point and wasn't a whole lot that could be done. Dan had said, hey, you know, we got a big thing going over here at Sign Tech with Joe and Robert and really cool vibe and cool people. And so that was it. I said, all right, well, I went over there into project management. And, you know, Liz was working in the office there and I was just around the corner from your office and Joe's. It so happened that we had a project in Alabama at that time. And we had hired a sub to do all this groundwork and get all this big mall done. And they were saying, yeah, we're working on it. And the customer calls and says, no, you guys haven't done anything. So Dan comes to me and says, hey, man, I need you on a flight tonight to Alabama. Tell us what's going on out there. I get there. I spend 2 weeks getting everything done and buttoned up for the mall to be able to open. Long days and long hours. And at that point is when they kind of went, well, you know, we can build it here, we can ship it there, and then we can send Mike out to work with the install crews in whatever state or, you know, city that we're doing the job in. And we have a level of control. What they're getting back, what Sign Tech was getting back was what was going on the ground in Alabama or Cincinnati or UC Davis or all the, you know, states that I've worked in. They saw the value in sending somebody out there that's going to give them the right information, is going to work with the installers and make it happen like it's ours. You know,
we were doing some big projects around the country in those days, that's for sure.
Also,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, I've done a lot.
Those were the glory days. That was the glory days before the Wayfair case changed everything. When you could send your lead installer out to another state and not be on the hook for basically having location in that state. That's a whole other conversation, but that's where my accountant brain goes. I'm like, oh, what those? That sounds beautiful. I would love that.
Well, it taught me a lot in doing that was, you know, they would ship me off to these, you know, Colorado Springs. We redid all the signage in the airport in Colorado Springs. And it taught me a lot of working with different crews. I had to be able to pull up, meet these guys for the first time. Here's the signs. Here's what we're going to do. We got a lift coming. I need you to grab that. You get your crane truck. Let's start getting this pole sign done. You know, that type of deal. And it taught me how to really kind of organize an install, a large install like that. And it taught me how to manage guys, crews. And that really was a lot that's helped me a lot in my career. Is you know, guys feel like I'll work right there with them. You know, I'll get in the trenches. And that's how I got a lot of respect from those guys and were able to work with all these different crews from all parts of the country. So at that point, I guess is pretty much, you know, Sign Tech was sold to FSG.
I love hearing your story all connected. I mean, I knew you kind of had all those roles, you know, over the years, especially from your Sign Tech days and Sign Builder days. But now I'm thinking, okay, this makes complete perfect sense why you have
really
a successful sign shop right now. Because you have done pretty much
you've done everything.
You've been everything from the sign shop janitor up to all of it. So you get it. I mean, you really understand the ins and outs of the business. That's for sure.
Right. So I guess that was my next question, which leads us perfectly into it. You know, you've done everything, but what was that tipping point? Like, what was the point that you were like, okay, I can do this. I can do it better. What was your differentiator? What made you say, I'm going to be an owner?
Well, you know, I guess after the Cowboys Stadium, you know, doing all the letters on the roof of the stadium and all that, and being gone and being out of town and all that for so long and costing me a marriage type of deal. So I said, you know, I want to stay in town. And that's when I was at FSG and things, you know, Dan, my mentor, Dan got sick and I wasn't real sure about the path the company was going to be going. And they couldn't tell me, here's the succession plan or here's where we're headed if the worst case were to happen with Dan, which did end up happening. But I had that another sign company making me offers and courting me pretty hard at that point. And I, you know, it was 5 minutes from my house. And I was like, you know what? I want to try something new. I want to go and be just an install manager at a sign company. And that went really well. But there were things that were done in that sign company that I didn't really agree with, or, you know, some of the way things were done. So I thought, you know what? I think I could do it better. I think, you know, I can start an install company. Travis, who's one of my business partners, I've known him since he was a little kid.
Oh, yeah.
Dan was his stepdad. And
he swept floor.
We were talking. What's that?
He swept floors at the sign shop like everybody else, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everybody else that worked, you know, for Dan, that came up through Dan. Grab a broom.
You know, it's amazing that Vital Signs, Custom Sign Creations, Sign Tech, Studio Zoe, you know, so many companies in the Austin area, sign companies, came from sign builders. I mean, we all started in that little shop, and several companies were spawned from guys leaving that shop and going, hey, I can do it.
It is intense to think about the impact that Dan had on this industry. I mean, I think about it, of course, with my dad too, but Dan trained so many people in fabrication and installation that I work with every day.
We should have a little side note here really fast, because people that are going to be watching this, like in California or wherever, they're going to say, who the hell is Dan that these three keep talking about? So I'll just say really fast, and we'll dedicate this episode to the memory of Dan Tessier, but he was a sign guy, shop foreman that just knew everything. I mean, this guy could work magic. You could pretty much draw something on a napkin and he would figure out how to make it into a really, really cool sign. And so what's that?
He was brilliant.
He was brilliant. He was a brilliant sign engineer. He was also, you know, Dan was a nurturer too, right? Like, he liked taking troubled souls and turning them into sign people.
Yeah, that's right.
He did.
That's me.
Yeah, right. I mean, Dan was a master at taking lost souls and giving them a career in the sign industry. And for that, he will always be Saint Dan. You know, he was just a really cool, cool dude. So
he took a lot of misfits and turned them around.
He did. I mean, he did.
But, you know, one thing I really got from Dan was we can do it. Make it happen. Don't make me come out there and make this happen, get this installed. You figure it out and get it done. Don't bring that sign back. It's going up. Figure it out.
Yeah.
So that's what we got from Dan. We kind of got some people got the hard side of Dan, and some people got coddled and treated differently, just how Dan was. But, you know, I got the get it done. Don't bullshit me. Get it done. Because, you know, look, I've been doing this long enough to know.
He believed in you, man. That's why, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing this long enough to know that installers they'll throw signs on a trailer and they'll pull up to the job site. And if the wind's not just right, or the sun and the moon aren't lined up just right, they'll find an excuse not to install that sign. They got paid to go out there, load it, paid to go out there, paid to go back. Well, we get off at noon. We got a half day in. I've been around guys like that. I've seen a lot of installers like that. And that's, that wasn't possible for us. We were like, Dan was said, no, you get that sign done, you figure it out, and you make it happen. And that really got me into the mentality. And it was, that's what we got from Dan, was the mentality of it can be done. Let's make it happen. Let's get it.
Which I think is your differentiator for your company now. I think so the tipping point was I can do it better. And I think it was, you know, part of what you were taught from Dan, but also your work ethic is just, it sets you apart.
We do whatever it takes. Yeah. Whatever it takes to get it done.
I mean, you've always had a can-do attitude. So here's the part of this, Mike, that we want to talk to you about, because, you know, Elizabeth and I don't even know how this has happened, but, you know, Elizabeth, Behind the Signs has gone over 13,000 followers today, which is nuts. I know. Don't even ask us how, Mike, it just happened, but we keep trying to put out helpful content. So maybe that's part of it, but, and here's the thing, you know, most of the shops that are signing up Behind the Signs, they're small. They're and 90% of them are owners. So there's a lot of folks getting out there and they're starting sign shops, print shops, or whatever. And, you know, if you read statistics on small business, what is it, like 80% of small businesses kind of tank in the first 5 years? And then I think it's like 80% of the 20% that survive tank in the second 5 years. So, you know, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, and we can talk about this, all of a sudden, and this is, you know, I mean, in the sign, it seems like in the sign business too, because, well, depending on how you do it, I was going to say the barrier to entry is pretty low, but not if you buy a crane truck right out the chute. But if you are, if you're working 10 hours a day, you know, you're working 8 hours a day, a couple hours overtime, you're installing, and then you have this idea in your head that you can do this better. And this is what I think a lot of people don't think about. I think you are an exception, obviously, because your business is successful, but, and you also played, you had almost every role in the industry, from floor sweeper, all everything you just said. But most folks that start their own business, you know, it's like, okay, my boss pissed me off on Wednesday, and Friday, I'm going to start my own business. And then they jump out and they go, oh, holy crap. Not only now do I have to work 8, 10, 12 hours a day installing signs, then I got to go home and I got to do quotes and I got to do invoicing and I got to do collections and then I got to go to bed and then I got to get up 4 hours later and do it all over again year after. Like, how did you do that? How are you transitioning or handling the transition from being, you know, a master craftsman to now a successful business person? You know, how are you?
Or the transition from being an employee to an owner.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I guess for me, I had already done so many different parts of the business. So the knowledge of the business was there. I wasn't a businessman. That I've had to learn. I've had to learn, you know, how to, you know, deal with employees, how to let employees go, how to, you know, deal with accounting, how to, you know, because when we started the company, we had a crane truck, two guys in the crane truck, and I was the accountant, you know, the office, the answering phones, sales, everything. It was a big, big transition to go from working for somebody 10 hours a day to working 24 hours a day. And that's something that you have to be prepared for. You lose sleep at night. It's just part of the deal. You know, is there enough work in the shop? I've got to, you know, keep enough work in that shop to pay the bills, to make sure these guys have money for their families. You know, they become they've become your responsibility at that point. So your employees really become your responsibility and making sure that they have the money, they have the hours. You have to count on them to do their jobs correctly. And if they don't, you have to deal with that. But yeah, I mean, it does become a 24-hour-a-day job. You get to sleep a couple of hours, you wake up, you're thinking about what's going on and payroll or, you know, this job. Oh man, I got to get up early in the morning to be downtown to get this job done. But fortunately, because of our lack of size in the office, I still get to go out and do a lot of installs. I still am part of anything we're doing, high rise and things like that. You know, I manage, you know, the rope systems and making sure that safety is taken, you know, to the top level as far as what we do and importance. That's one of the big things is your responsibility, your employee is also your responsibility to make sure they are safe, make sure that they know how to be safe. In the business, when I was an installer as a young man, we didn't have harnesses on the crane trucks. I mean, we did things. You climbed the ladder 50 feet up on the Wilkie. You didn't boom down to get a tool. You climbed down, you climbed back up. We just, the things that we did as I, you know, once FSG bought Signtech and they had some accidents and because they were a national company, safety was a big thing, safety program. So we
had safety officers and everything. I remember that.
Yeah. So we had to become educated. And becoming educated in safety is going, wow, we were incredibly unsafe. The things that we did, how we survived it, I'll never know, but we did survive. And you learn how dangerous those type of situations are. So when you become an owner, you become a project manager, or you become an install manager, you're able to, hey, you know, safety first. You know, an accident costs the whole company a lot of money. So let's be safe, go home with the same 10 toes, 10 fingers and 2 eyes that you came to work with type of deal. So, you know, again, it's a 24-hour a day job, you know, 7 days a week, you know.
Yeah. It's funny.
It's never far from your mind.
It's not. And it's so funny that you say, you really have to be more concerned about your employees and their families. Right. And you have to know that you're going to be able to support them. Russell and I, constantly say, like, we went from having to worry about the income of one family, ours, to the income of 7. And it's like, that is a level of pressure that no one really tells you about. That's probably the most pressure inducing part of owning a business that has employees.
And understand too, Liz, that exactly what you just said is true, but that in the order of things, your paychecks last.
Oh, during, especially, you know, we were still a relatively newish company, a few years old during the pandemic. I mean, Mike, you know this. and it's like, okay, so at what point do we say, because we didn't do any layoffs, we didn't do any furloughs. We were very, very lucky in that regard, but we did have to plan for that. And we had to plan a hierarchy of who, you know, obviously our paycheck would be cut first. And how long could that be cut before we have to let someone go? And if we get to that point, who do we let go first? And like having to sit down and really, and we have it written down. Like we have a hierarchy that we have already determined. Like if we come into this situation again, this is the hierarchy. First and foremost, Russell and I get our pay cut completely, just out. And then second would be, you know, if that's not enough, who would have to go, and then who would go after that? And that's a horrible thing to write.
No, somebody's fate down on a piece of paper, but at that point too, it's how long can I float the company out of my personal account? Right. If we can't make payroll, mm-hmm. I've got to make payroll. I'm not going to get paid. It's coming out of my account to pay payroll.
Absolutely.
You know, so,
and when, you know, Russell and I started this company, our agreement was, you know, we're not going to let this dwindle our savings. Like if this is not profitable, we're going to fail and fail fast. And that's okay. We tried and we haven't failed, luckily. Knock on whatever wood is available.
I think you guys are pretty safe now. I think you're okay.
Yeah, but you know, it's definitely something you think about a lot. It's just, okay, I have to make sure that all of these families eat now. I have to make sure that all of these families can keep their lights on.
And well, that's, you said it perfectly. Pressure. It's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure. I'm actually sitting here thinking, Mike, back in the days at Signtech, I'm getting a little PTSD right now. I feel like I need some more coffee or something. sure. I can remember, man, sitting there in the afternoons, locking myself in the office with Donna, you know? And she was our controller, for those of you, another person like, who the hell's Donna? She's great. But just calling people, hey, we need to come over and pick up a check right now. Like this is 30 days past because we got to make payroll. And I think those are the pressures, you know, look at you. You knew every part of the business, like the back of your hand, yet you still, you know, took that leap. And I just, not that we ever want to discourage people from starting business. This is America. That's what we do. But just be really clear. If you're working at a sign shop and you feel a little bit disgruntled, you be really sure that you want to take that leap, you know, and
go all in if you're going to go all in.
Yeah.
You got to be all in doing whatever it takes.
So
that, that's a great cat. That's a great, you know, switch into our next question, which is there something you wish someone told you before you made that leap?
Well, you know, hindsight being what it is, you know, you go, oh, I wish somebody would have said this to me, but you know, I'm kind of one to go out and make my own mistakes, and you could
you
might
too.
Tell me
Liz,
something.
You too, Liz, don't deny it. You too.
Oh, it's, people you did tell me something. And I was like, no, I'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, you get to, there are some good things about starting your own business and being in this position. You know, it's good and bad. A lot of pressure, a lot of sleepless nights. But when, you know, you do something really cool, or you put something up that no one else can do, and, you know, you just get that feeling of satisfaction. Your employees are happy, you know, when they're happy and they go, man, what do you need me to do? I'll go and do it right now, wherever it is, whatever it is, wherever it is, I'll go do it. What do you need me to do?
Yeah.
And, you know, sign warriors. That's how I was. Yeah, that's how I was. You know, whatever you need, man. I'm working not just for my paycheck, but I'm working for Liz's paycheck. I'm working for Joe's paycheck. I'm working so everybody, my work affects everybody's money. So the better I do at what I do, we all prosper. We all do better at the company level. So was my approach, you know?
Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, that's if I think if you could just pick one thing that you just said, that's the best advice you can give anybody that's really convinced themselves in their mind that they're going to do this is go, don't do it halfway. Go all in and just throw yourself into it. Yeah, exactly. Because it's a it's a competitive industry, right? I mean, you have really got to differentiate yourself and be in love with what you do, love your clients, and just be all in, or it's not going to work. So, not that you want to give away the special sauce at all, but you know, how did you do it? Like, you know, because I think about for me at Sign Builders, right? So, I was at Sign Builders. I had a long career there of 90 days. And I decided that I could do this on my own. So the main reason why was because at least when I got there, I mean, you kind of came in as project manager stuff, I think after I left, but, you know, I just felt like it was super disorganized, and I came from another small business background where it was nothing but organized, because I had a janitorial contracting business before I got into the sign industry. But so I was, you know, really already good at like managing projects and crews and scheduling and all that. So that's one of the main reasons I jumped out. So Robert took me out, you know, to breakfast one day and showed me an article in the back of one of the sign industry magazines that, you know, you could outsource your fabrication. And there was these wholesalers. And this was back in the day when wholesaling was a pain in the butt because you were shipping neon all over the country. It was breaking. There really wasn't, you know, Google to do research on, you know, 5-star companies or any of that stuff. So it was kind of hard to do that, but that was the reason that was the thing that said to me, I can do this better. So for you, you know, when you already made that leap in your head, like I can do this better, what did you do? Like, did you go, cause I was thinking you probably started off like wholesaling. Did you buy a truck, do sub work for the company you work for? Did you knock on doors? Like, what was day one? What did day one look like?
So, you know, I had a relationship with one of the sign crane truck manufacturers. I don't know if naming names or not, but with one of the sales guys, I had bought a couple of trucks from him when I was at another company. I was the project or the install manager, and I bought a couple of install trucks with him. You know, I called him up and I said, you know, I want to start my own sign company, man. I need a crane truck. And he says, I've got this crane truck. It's a demo model. It's in Sacramento. Go get it. Here's how much. And he gave me a price. And we said, okay. Travis flew out there. He drove it back. The big thing that really helped us to begin with was being in town in Austin and working in the sign business in this area for so long. And again, knowing all these other sign companies that spawned from Sign Builders, and the owners of those sign companies were my friends, you know, Andy and Jamie and you guys, and, you know, all these other sign companies, and the relationships that I had established throughout the years with other sign companies, I was able to go to those sign companies and go, hey, I'm going to have a truck on Tuesday. I need work. And they they said, wow, you know, we know Mike, we trust that he can do what he says he can do. He has, you know, it's been around here forever. So, we were able to acquire work before we, I mean, it pulled into town in the parking lot. I met Travis. We looked at the truck. Wow. Here's our truck. Let's go do this job for another local sign company. It was just some flat cutout letters, but the day we got the truck, we had work. And then, you know, so that really helped us get started. You know, my relationship with FSG, I left on good terms. They subbed a lot of their install work out. You know, we were, bam, we hit the ground running. We were doing installs 5-6 days a week and rocking and rolling. Well, then COVID hit 3 months later. And all these companies said, hey, you know, we're not subbing anything out anymore. We're doing it all in-house. So, you know, we were sitting there at the office going, what are we going to do? And one of the guys that I had had a relationship that started his own sign company called me up and said, hey, man, what are you doing? And I said, we're sitting here trying to figure out how we're going to make money and keep the doors open here. And he said, you want to do a job right now? And that was Jamie Mytol from Custom Sign Creations. And we jumped in the truck and went and did a job. And really, they kept us going for about a year with as much work as they had. And so they kind of saved our bacon. And the guy, when we started the company, the relationship I had with the sales guy at the crane company, you know, we started in September and, you know, November, December, I'm going, hey, man, I need to make the deposit payment on this truck. And he's, nah, don't worry about it, man. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. January comes. I don't worry about it, man. We didn't pay a dime for that truck until like February. So we were able to make money and not have a truck payment and then make the down payment. Instead of pulling it all out of the account, emptying the account, we were able to make the down payment before it was due. So that really helped us out. So the relationship with
relationships,
other sign
man,
companies
it's all
and
all
the people.
Who, yep. It's relationships. Exactly.
You don't realize sometimes in life when you're working with somebody where that person is going to be and what they're going to be doing in 10 or 15 years or 20 years. I worked with guys that showed me their true colors. And then I start a sign company and they come to me and go, hey, man, will you hire me?
Nope.
Sorry, man.
I'm good.
I know you are.
No yeah. positions available. So, yeah,
that's right. And it's a tough deal. I love everybody I work with. And I, you know, I'm passionate about the business and I don't want to see anybody struggle or have, you know, I want to be able to help everybody I possibly can. You know,
that's good, man. That's such a great story.
So, we didn't plan on asking this, but genuine curiosity, how long were the conversations that I know it's you. So for those that don't know, Mike owns Vital Signs here in Austin. He owns it with his partners, Travis and Juan. So how long were those conversations about going out on your own and doing something better than what you all were doing before?
I don't really think it was a real long time because we had the knowledge and I had the relationships around with all these other sign companies. And we said, you know, we can buy a truck and we can go and just start doing installs for companies and we can make it work. There was an issue that I had with management at the company that facilitated me leaving
the process of starting.
Sure, expedited.
Yeah.
It made me go, you know what? Now I am 100% sure I don't want to work here. So do I want to go work for one of these other sign companies and deal with all that? Or do I want to take a chance and see what happens? And that's pretty much what, you know, we decided, we talked and said, let's go for it, man. Let's go for it. And
awesome.
It really wasn't a whole lot. Again, I've known Travis since he was a little kid, like, you know, basically, you know, Liz also. So
I think we're about the same age,
Travis
and I. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know Travis, I know him well. We worked together mm-hmm. for a long time and, mm-hmm. I know what a steady person he is. So
mm-hmm. he's a solid guy. For sure.
The most even keel person I've ever met. Like he's just
steady Eddie.
Yeah. You cannot get a rise out of him, which is great in this industry. It's very, very rare.
my business partners are 10 and 15 years younger than I am. So at some point, you know, I'm going to be going, okay, I need to take a step back. You know, I'm going to be faced with either you buy me out or, you know, we sell the company or, you know, I can work part time or, you know, whatever, remotely. I'm going to want to get out of town and get out in some land somewhere and retire at some point, you know, hopefully in the next 10 years. So, I'm facing that, whereas they're still, you know, they've got 25 years still.
Yeah. Well, they're lucky to have you as a mentor though. That's a really good thing for them, you know, cause you're going to, it almost assures their success in a lot of ways. So it's awesome.
I hope so. And, you know, I was at a funeral a couple of weeks ago and some of the things that were said about this guy, you know, made me go, wow, I hope that people will say the same about me. And, you know, you try to do that, you know, you try to develop people and help people and, you know, pass on the knowledge that you have. And Travis, again, he's so smart, that he soaks it up, I think. And Juan's so, such a go-getter. Juan's just an animal. That guy will work, you know, he'll work 16, 18 hours a day. You know, he just is an animal. So, and again, that's that got to get it done and make it happen attitude. So
I was just going to say, so you guys made it through COVID and as a brand new company, but you established yourselves as experts in installation relatively as wholesale. Because it doesn't make sense not to be wholesale when you're installation. But anyway, so at what point did you decide, okay, like we've done this, we've done it well, I am a glutton for punishment, and I am now going to add the additional responsibility of fabrication?
So, you know, we had a shop, and when you're out doing installs and you know all these companies, you're working for all these companies, and people go, hey, you know, can you do this for me? Can you do this raceway for me? Can you paint this for me? Can you make these plastic faces? Well, we had a plotter, and we were able to do some faces and things like that. And we had the knowledge of fabrication. So it got to be where people were like, dude, can you do these raceways? And we're like, okay, yeah, we can do this raceway this one time, you know, for this customer. And we did this raceway and it was like, oh man, we need a couple more. Can you do this? And you're right.
It's a slippery slope. And I definitely know there was at least one birdie in your ear saying, hey, are you ever gonna start fabricating? Can you build this? Could you, yeah. Do you want to quote this?
Yeah. And that's what happened. You know, people started asking for quotes and was like, yeah, we can do this. We can do that. We can do this. And then it was, okay, we need to get a router. You know, we need to get a paint booth. We've got to get I-beams set up to build cabinets. We've got to buy welders. We've got to buy everything. You know, we moved from the shop that we were in to a bigger shop, 5,500 square foot shop, plus a separated office. And, you know, we didn't have anything in there. It was nothing. And, again, relationships played a big part in helping us get it going. People, hey man, I've got this extra set of I-beams you can build cabinets on. It's just sitting over here. Come get them. You know, and so, you know, we got a lot of help, you know, because of the people that we knew, you know, people at FSG and, Grant. So that really helped us out a lot is the relationships all the way through is one of those things you have to cultivate and grow.
What were the hurdles like for someone who's maybe doing installations right now and thinks, well, I can do everything and just be a one-stop shop? Like what were the major hurdles outside of equipment? Because I think that's just the obvious hurdle, but
employees, hands down, guys in the shop that know what they're doing, that you don't have to babysit, or you have to babysit them for weeks, months, whatever, and then they can do it, or you babysit them and they still can't do it. So that's the big part of it is really getting and finding and keeping good help. You've got to pay good help well, because if they're good help, somebody else will pay them well. So that becomes, you know, more important than your paycheck. If you have to take a pay cut to get somebody in here that's going to better the company, you have to do that. And that's kind of part of the deal, as you well know.
I could not agree more. I could not do what I do today without my team.
I mean, I think we kind of did talk about some of this, but if you could, yeah, we did. I mean, it was just like, what would be your parting words of wisdom to a young buck wanting to jump out and get started, which we kind of talked about. Both feet, deep end of the pool.
You know, if I, luckily for me, I had spent so much time doing all the different parts. So I already had the knowledge. Somebody who I've worked for companies where the owner didn't know the first thing about signs. Okay. He relied on everybody around him to be able to manage and do and tell him what to do, basically. Having the knowledge, if you want to start a sign company, start in the shop, start fabricating, start painting, start doing something in the shop and learn the business, learn the shop and learn the field. Those two things, if you don't have that, those two things, then it's a struggle because you're depending on somebody else to tell you what's going on in the shop and what's going on in the field. So I would say, product knowledge, learn the sign business, learn installs, you know, go out on installs, go see what those installers go through. They pull up and how they have to figure out what kind of wall it is and how much it weighs and how to attach signs and things like that. Those are the things that for me, I wasn't a great salesman when I got on the sales side of the business, but I knew the product. I could tell the customer, I need you to put 120 volt box, one circuit, dedicated circuit behind that wall. Your sign's going to be pushing 8 amps. It's going to be drawing 8 amps on that circuit. If we want to add something later, we've still got available amperage, you know, or this is how it's going to be built. I was able to sell with the technical knowledge, not sales skill.
So, well, that is great advice, actually. And on top of the jump, you know, jump in the deep end with both, you know, both feet, jump in the deep end of the pool. Because if you think about it, what you just said, I mean, ultimately, as a business owner, you're going to be responsible for managing, right? And business development. And so without that knowledge, how do you build systems around directing people, you know, and scheduling people for different parts of the project or even quoting? Like if you don't know what goes into a project, how do you quote projects? So that is really good advice. Cause even if you're the kind of person that jumps out and says, well, I'm going to just work part-time doing some of the technical work, but I'm focusing on systems. I mean, you're not going to know what to build a system around or what to quote if you don't know it, if you don't know the processes. So that is actually great advice. Okay, now can I ask my favorite question?
Hey, I'm not done. I think also even like, even if you plan on just doing installs, I think it's so important to know how signs are built and how they work, because you're going to have to solve these problems when you're out in the field. It's one of the reasons I love working, you know, with you, Mike, is because I know that you know this inside and out. And if that sign fell apart in your hands, you could put it back together with your eyes closed. Like, I know that you know how to do every part of it. And Travis too, and Juan. I mean, you guys just know the ins and outs of signs. So even if you're just doing, even if you want to focus on being an installer, knowing how to build a sign is going to take you so much further.
100%. The knowledge of this, of signage you really need that to be able to see all the parts of it. The install experience that I accumulated working all over the place and on different projects, the Cowboy Stadium, Kyle Field, you know, doing all this big install stuff for FSG, that gave me the knowledge when I went to another sign company before I started my own. It gave them more capability, high rise buildings, things like that, that they didn't have the knowledge. So I was able to pass some of that knowledge onto them. They're able to continue on that where they weren't able to do that before. But when we hit the floor as an install company, it got to be, oh, this is a troubled project, a really difficult project. You've got to repel or whatever it is. They were like, you got to call these guys. So that really was what helped us also was being able to do the jobs that a lot of other guys can't do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, that leads me into my question, Liz.
Yeah, you can do it now. Go.
All right. I just want to know.
He's been waiting the whole time.
Because I know you've done a lot of crazy install. Like, what is the craziest install that, you know, when it was done, you went, wow, how did we pull that off?
You know, it all kind of harkens back to the Cowboy Stadium. You know, I went to Dan and I said, Dan, how are we going to get these signs up on that roof of that building, man? And he goes, you're going to get them up there. He said, you're going to go, you're going to do it. I got a crane. You're going to make it happen. And I think that, you know, I was on the roof for 6 months, you know, that building, you know, I got paid salary. So everybody I was working with, we were working tons of overtime. I didn't see any additional money at that point. That wasn't why I was doing it. And I'm able to look back and go, I'm very fortunate that I've gotten to do some of the projects that I've gotten to do. And, you know, most sign installers, they put up channel letters, they put up pole signs. That's what they do every day. It's the same old stuff. Whereas I've been able to do some projects, you know, U.S. Bank Stadium. We did the signs for U.S. Bank Stadium. It was the Vikings game was on Monday Night Football, I think. I saw the sign. Oh, you know, there's my sign. Seeing my signs on TV is a gratification that I still get.
Yeah. Yeah, those are world-class projects right there. So
they are. I mean, the craziest thing I think I've probably done, you know, I mean, I've done some rappel jobs where we had to install big raceways and, you know, we have a crane, fly them up to you and you rappel down to them and attach them to the wall. Those are things that are, for me, kind of fun. I used to do a lot of rock climbing and things. So I don't really have a fear of heights, a respect, but not a fear.
I've told this to Travis and I will tell you, but so the world knows, I would never, ever rappel off a building to install a sign. Like there's not enough money in the world. I could not do it.
Well, when once you become familiar with the equipment and you know that I've got safety backups, you know, and it's something, you know, when you boom up and you're going 80 feet in the air, the first 20 feet makes you nervous because you can see the ground. You're right. Once you get up 40, 50, 60 feet in the air, the ground's gone. You're just up there with the birds and the sign, right? So then you focus on what you got to get done and you don't think about any of the other stuff that could potentially happen.
Makes me nauseous to think about.
Yeah. I'm getting,
I don't like to fly in airplanes.
That makes no sense. I guess you're not in control. Yeah.
That's right. If they wouldn't let me fly the thing or at least give me a parachute where if everything went bad, I can jump out of this thing. Yeah. I've been through some really wild turbulence with, you know, drinks and food and people in the air. The mask didn't come down, but it still makes me nervous. But
okay,
it's now, necessary now, evil these days.
Now we're going to go to our rapid fire. Three quick little questions at the end here. So the first one is,
I think if I would have bet money on what your answer would be, I would have just won a lot of money.
Well, it becomes a lot more people.
Yeah. I mean,
depending on people more, versus small crews doing installs. And for me, managing install crews that's really simple stuff for me. I've been doing it for so long that it's not a difficult thing for me. You go throwing in all the fabrication and the timing of getting things to the shop and painted and out. Those things are, you know, it just adds another level of complication.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you get, you know, material relationships with, you know, all the suppliers and you get in real estate, you need a shop and equipment and it's and people.
We're dealing with that now. We're looking at potentially having to move in March.
Yeah, that happens.
It's coming fast.
Outgrow your place. But okay, Liz.
Okay, the next one is what we call happy endings. So the happiest reaction from a client when finishing their project or the worst project you ever had and you were just happy it was over?
Well, I would say the worst, and I'm always happy that they're over, are apartment complexes.
For real?
They are the worst. We're ready for all the signs. We load everything up. We go out there. Oh, wait, no, sorry. Just put these six signs up and then come back in a week and we'll have everything done. Come back in a week and there's only six more. They just tend to drag on and on and on and on, the ADA portion of those things.
I feel like I should apologize to you.
I don't know that I've had main problems with yours because you guys are very organized. Like Zoe is organized. you guys, your boxes come with all the ADA in order and stuff like that. Whereas other companies, you have, it's all just one box or five boxes and they don't put it in order at all. So we have to spend hours getting it in order. Okay, that building we're not doing because it's not ready. But all the building one signs are in every box. So we've got to go through everything to get building one together. So that's some of the frustration. What was the question again? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was it. Happiest reaction from a client when finishing their project or the worst project you ever had and you were happy it was over?
You know, as far as happiest, I don't know that I've ever had anybody just jump up and down and go, that's just the most awesome thing in the world I've ever seen. Other than, you know, I mean, I really like, I have a relationship with the guys that own the sign bar. And they own several bars around town. And those guys, they're the coolest. They're like, dude, I said, man, here's what I'm envisioning for this sign. And I tell them and they're like, do it. And I'm like, dude, that's awesome. That's what I want, you know, is for somebody to trust my expertise and go, man, we trust you. Get it done.
Yeah. Anytime we're taking down a sign in Austin now that we're like, man, that sign's been around forever. I call Matt up very quickly and I'm like, hey, I'm about to take this sign down. Do you want to take it down? And you can have it. And he's always so grateful.
We just took the Dreamers sign down.
Oh. Which is
wild. Sign builders did that crazy. Sign, right?
Dan built that sign. I remember we took it to the sign bar the other day.
The one on 535?
I built the one on the bottom.
Did you?
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Since you've been in the sign industry so long, you might not have even thought about this one, but.
Everyone in the sign industry has thought about this. Don't lie to yourself.
So like, I guess days when you're like, why the F am I in the sign business? So if not the sign business, what do you think you'd be doing?
Well, I was kind of a black sheep. My dad was a retired cop, police officer, and he retired twice. My brother is a Harris County Sheriff's deputy, a sergeant, actually. You know, I don't know. I was a little bit of the black sheep growing up, so I don't know that, you know, the law enforcement side of society would be my side. But, you know, it's hard to say. I had very limited skills. I had a little welding skill and some mechanical skill when I walked into the door at Sign Builders. And I had drive. I felt like, you know, I didn't have anything. I moved here with nothing. I needed money. I need to pay my bills. I want to go and do, and motivation, money was my motivation. So, I think whatever it was that I walked into and they hired me, whether it was, you know, electrical shop or whatever it was, I feel like that would have been the career I would have chosen and gone and taken off in. Just because,
you know, Mike, I feel like
I didn't have a whole lot of options.
I feel like I know you well enough to say that if I could envision you doing something other than signs, it would be building custom motorcycles. Like if that in another life, that would have been the Mike Stevens path. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I still love, and I still think about, you know, I could, you know, start a motorcycle shop. I love motorcycles. It's a passion for me, just like science. Science is my passion, you know, and that's what's helped me get to where I am, is being passionate. It's something I love, and it's not really, it doesn't feel like a job to me that often. I don't mind getting up at, you know, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning and going doing an install downtown because we don't want to get a lane closure. You know, I'll do it. I like to sleep and I like my time off, but I don't mind going downtown and doing an install in the middle of the night. It's just, I enjoy it. I enjoy being around my guys, you know, and just being part of the team.
Awesome. Well, if you ever do decide to build motorcycles, I could see that.
Is that a Mike?
I need some more tattoos.
Is that a Mike Stevens chopper? Oh, yeah, it's a Stevens chopper.
I can see it.
Yeah.
But, Mike, man, it's so good to see you and spend a little time with you. I miss being in a shop. You know, maybe one of these days I'll drop off this world and I'll knock on your door and say, you need a good sales guy?
I'll be your boss. You, even if we do need a good one. That's true. You know, I've known you long enough. I can give you some shit, right?
We
can
give each absolutely. Other shit. Absolutely. I mean Elizabeth gives me shit all the time. So I like it.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, Mike, we love you like family, as you know, and thanks. Cause this year we're trying to kind of focus these podcasts on what does it look like to start a sign business, market it, run it, get into quoting. I mean, all of it, all the way down to what does it look like, you know, to sell a sign business. So you are our first in the series. And we just thought it was great that you would come on and just talk about, you know, someone that has so much experience and then that was willing to take that leap and jump in and do it. So this was super helpful. I think people are going to get a lot out of it. So we are very appreciative of you spending time with us today, Mr. Mike Stevens. Thank you very much.
I love you guys.
Love you too, brother.
We love you.